ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो 13th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 3-5 टुडे। शृणुस्व वहितो राजन् अपि गुह्यं वदामि ते ब्रूयुः स्निग्धस्य शिष्यस्य गुरवो गुह्यम् अपि उत शृणुस्व वहितो राजन् अपि गुह्यं वदामि ते ब्रूयुः स्निग्धस्य शिष्यस्य गुरवो गुह्यम् अपि उत। मीनिंग ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ किंग, काइंडली हियर मी विथ ग्रेट अटेंशन। Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you, for spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. There is no purport to this verse, so we'll read the translation of the next verse. Then after saving the boys and cows from the mouth of Aghasur, who was death personified, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, brought them all to the bank of the river and spoke the following words. Text 5. Aho atiramyam pulinam vayasya swakeli sampan rudalachya balukam purat सुरो गंधहिताली पत्रिका धवनी प्रतिधवन लसद त्रुमाकुलम। ट्रांसलेशन, माय डियर फ्रेंड्स, जस्ट सी हाउ दिस रिवर बैंक इज एक्सट्रीमली ब्यूटिफुल बिकॉज ऑफ इट्स प्लीजिंग एटमॉस्फियर, एंड जस्ट सी हाउ द ब्लूमिंग लोटसेस आर अट्रैक्टिंग बीज एंड बर्ड्स बाय देयर एरोमा। द हमिंग एंड चर्पिंग ऑफ द बीज एंड बर्ड्स इज एकोइंग थ्रू आउट द ब्यूटिफुल ट्रीज इन द फॉरेस्ट। ऑल्सो हियर the sands are clean and soft, therefore this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes. Purport, the description of Vrindavan forest is given herewith was spoken by Krishna 5000 years ago, and the same condition prevailed during the time of Vaishnava Acharyas 300 or 400 years ago. Kujata kokila hamsa sarasa ganaike mayura kule. Vrindavan forest is always filled with chirping and cooing of birds like cuckoos, kokila, ducks, hamsa and cranes, sarasa, and it is also full of peacocks, mayura kule. The same sounds and atmosphere still prevail in the area where our Krishna Balaram temple is situated. Everyone who visits this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described here. Kajata kokila hamsa sarasa. Om. So Hare Krishna. So this particular verse which is written on the board is very, very instructive, and would like to focus on that more than any other verse today. Now a spiritual master is very, very merciful. He is very merciful to his disciples, and he wants to ensure that whatever instructions have been imparted to him, those are grasped by the disciple. It is not that just he wants to keep on giving instructions and the disciple doesn't grasp them. And that is actually the compassion. And here we find that in this verse we just now read, Srila Sukhdev Goswami, he brings to the forefront some very, very important points which we'll be discussing today. The very first point, he says that Snigdha Shishya. Snigdha Shishya means a submissive disciple. Then second point, attentiveness in hearing. These are all important in Guru-Shishya Sambandha. Then he says that the activities of the Supreme Lord are confidential and difficult to understand. So it has been specified that no ordinary person can really understand the activities of Krishna because they are transcendental. Then, activities of the Supreme Lord are confidential and difficult to understand, and the spiritual master will explain to a submissive disciple the spiritual subjects which are even difficult to comprehend. So these are four important points in this verse. I would like to briefly touch upon them. So in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells Arjun, he says, Kacchit etat shrutam partha tvaya ekagrena chetasa kacchit ajnana sammoha pranashtate dhananjaya. So Krishna has actually, through all the chapters, he has now come to the 18th chapter, he has given him all possible transcendental information. And now he is saying, O son of Partha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with attentive mind? Krishna is asking Arjun, have you heard this with attentive mind? Thereby telling us that we have to hear what we hear with great attention. And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? So throughout Bhagavad Gita, we find Arjun asking questions to Krishna. And now Krishna is asking some questions to Arjun. They are very, very relevant and pertinent. So Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, writes that the Lord was acting as the spiritual master of Arjun. Therefore, it was his duty to inquire from Arjun whether he has understood the whole Bhagavad Gita in proper perspective. Prabhupada comments on this particular verse. And if not, Prabhupada says, the Lord was ready to re-explain any point of the whole Bhagavad Gita if so required. So this is the compassion of a spiritual master. He starts from Krishna, who is Karuna Sindhu, starts from him and goes to any length, you know, to make subject matter, especially the difficult subject matter, clear to his disciple. And then, what is Arjun's response? Arjun says, Nashto moho smrutir labdha tvat prasadat maya archuta sitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. So Krishna is getting answer to his two questions. When Arjuna says, my dear Krishna, O the infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. So this is response of the submissive disciple Arjun to Krishna. So we find that Parikshit Maharaj, just toward the end of the last chapter, the last verse, he no, it's not here anyway. So in the last verse, he's saying that he's asking a question. He says, Vayam dhanyatam aloke guropi kshatra bandavaha yat pibamo muhutvatva punyam krishna katamrutam. So Parikshit Maharaj has said it in the last verse of the last chapter, that O my Lord, O spiritual master, although we are lowest of kshatriyas, kshatra bandavaha, we are glorified and benefited because we have opportunity of always hearing from you the nectar of pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just see the humility of Parikshit Maharaj. Now humility is a necessary criterion and quality for receiving spiritual knowledge from the spiritual master. And see the humility of Parikshit Maharaj. What was the status of Parikshit Maharaj? He was actually Chakravarti Samrat, emperor of the entire planet Earth. And he was the crest jewel amongst all the Kshatriyas. He was actually the grandson of the great devotee of Krishna, Arjun. One who had the ability to put the fear of death in Kali, personified Kali, such a great personality. And one who had seen the Supreme Lord in the womb of his mother, Uttara. Such a great personality. And what is he? He is presenting himself as a Kshatra Bandhava. He says that, you know, I am the lowest, I am the lowly among the Kshatriyas. So this is his position. This is Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness to hear. He wants to hear Krishna Kathamrutam, and therefore he's putting himself in this very humble position, and he's requesting his spiritual master Shukdev Goswami to narrate to him Krishna Katha Amruta, which he wants to, you know, imbibe very nicely. And Shukdev Goswami, what is his response? That is there in the first verse of this chapter. It says, Sadhu Prushtam Mahabhaga Tvaya Bhagavata Uttama Yannutanya Shishasya Shunvannapi Katha Muhu. So Shukdev Goswami is saying that, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have inquired very nicely. For although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving his activities to be newer and newer. So, see the humility of the spiritual master Shukdev Goswami also. He is saying to Parikshit Maharaj that, you know, because of your desire, intense desire to hear more and more of Krishna Katha, you are imparting freshness to the Katha. You are finding newer and newer aspects of the Krishna Katha which I am narrating. It's a very important matter. Very often we tend to think that we have heard this before. You know, all this is known, you know, I heard this in such and such a tape or such and such a, you know, lecture. But then, when we have intensity or intense longing for hearing, then whatever Krishna Katha we hear, that Krishna Katha becomes very, very inspiring to us. And here Shukadeva Goswami is saying that because of your intensity of wanting to hear pastimes of Krishna, there is freshness, newer and newer things. Nutanayasi, that you are making them nutana. So Shukadeva Goswami is not taking credit for injecting freshness in his narration. He's not saying, you know, I'm narrating so nicely, therefore, you know, the katha is, you know, very, very fresh to you. He's not saying that. This is again the humility of the spiritual master. So we find that this is an integral part of Guru-Shishya Sambandha, the humility on part of the Shishya and the eagerness of the spiritual master to satisfy his disciple that is there. So we find this in this particular verse also, that he is saying that I am willing to give you all the so-called guhyam, you know, so-called secrets, very confidential subject matter, which no ordinary man is able to understand. And I shall speak about them to you. Why? Your qualification is that you are submissive. So we find, therefore, that a submissive disciple, even if he's not intelligent, he may still imbibe the principles of Krishna consciousness. He may not be very scholarly, he may not be able to read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, understand every purport. But if he is submissive and if he surrenders to his spiritual master, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninaha tattvadarshinaha. So when you surrender to the spiritual master, then the spiritual master will explain to you the tattva, because he is tattvadarshi, because he is the seer of the truth, he is in a position to explain to you all the intricacies of the scriptures. So this is actually the compassion of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master, if the student is not, his intellectual caliber is not that high, the spiritual master will simplify the shastra so that the student can understand it very nicely. Isn't this what we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam or all the scriptures? How Narad Muni, you know, simplified things, you know, for that Valya Koli, you know, the highway robber, who could not even chant Ram's name. So he simplified matters. He said, you chant Mara, 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 it will become Ram. Narad Muni, actually we are following tradition of Narad Muni. He was simplifying everything. We find also that, you know, who is that king? King Prachini Varishat. Narad Muni simplified matters for him. He narrated the story of Puranjan in such a graphic way that for quite some time, you know, Puranjan Maharaj, that Prachini Varishat thought that this is just a story which, you know, Narad Muni is narrating. But later on he realized that it is his story. So this way, Narad Muni uses his, you know, intelligence and particularly shows compassion to the king. So this is thing that is going on, time honored, you know, process. We find His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada simplifying, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam and giving to us in a very acceptable form. Otherwise, where does the modern man have that, you know, intelligence, you know, to absorb the intricate and complex teachings of the Shastra? But Srila Prabhupada simplified it all. He said that I'll simplify the 10th canto. He gave us the Krishna book. Even those who had not read the Srimad Bhagavatam right from the first canto, they had access to the Krishna book. So this is the compassion of the spiritual master. And a spiritual master simplifies things for his disciple by making, you know, by presenting it in a very nice way. So in this context, I'd like to share with you a story which you have perhaps heard in past. This we first heard from His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj long ago. And so this is a story of the pencil. Story of the pencil, which Sachinandan Maharaj narrates very, very beautifully. And many things to learn for all of us from this particular story. So Sachinandan Maharaj begins by saying that there was a person by the name of Mohan who lived in a village near Devprayag, which is in Orissa. Now this Mohan was not very intelligent, but he had a simple and a good heart, a very simple, good-hearted person. And by the will of the destiny, he lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his only cow. He had no children. He lost everything that he had with him. And at that point in time, his spiritual master, Guru Maharaj, his name was Jagannath Nandan Swami. He took shelter of that spiritual master. And spiritual master told him, come, let us go to Jagannath Puri. Let us go to Jagannath Puri. And while telling him that let us go to Jagannath Puri, this spiritual master, he looked deep into the eyes of Mohan. Then he said, there is an ocean in Jagannath Puri. All of us know that there is an ocean. And he said that I have an intense feeling that my ship, you know, will come in Jagannath Puri to take me to my land of origin. Will come. Now, Mohan, being not so very intelligent, he could not understand what his Guru Maharaj, you know, was trying to imply. He was thinking in his mind that my Guru Maharaj is, you know, from the south. Why is he saying that a ship will come to, you know, Jagannath Puri to take him, you know, to south? Why is he saying this? He was not able to understand. But he was very submissive. So he went with his spiritual master and he served him very beautifully. And seeing different places, they eventually reached, you know, Jagannath Puri. And the guru was very aged and he served him very, very nicely. He took good care of him. And the guru showed him all the holy places. And finally they came to Jagannath Puri. When they came to Jagannath Puri, this Mohan was tremendously impressed and overwhelmed. When he saw the beautiful Arja Vigra forms of Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, he became ecstatic with joy. Became very, very happy. And every day, Guru and Shishya, you know, they would enter, you know, via the Simhadwar, the eastern side of Jagannath Puri. They would enter and take darshan and they come back. So, they waited until the Jagannath Rathyatra started. So, it took about 2 weeks. So, 2 weeks thereafter, Mohan's Gurudev, you know, he contracted high fever. And he was already aged. His body became very, very weak, very, very frail. And his whole body was wrecked with pain. So it was then that Mohan could understand what his Guru Maharaj had been telling him all the time, that my ship will come, my ship will come. he had, you know, as they say, tube light, you know, understood it after some time. And then the day after Rath Yatra, his Gurudev, he called Mohan, he called him to his bedside, and he told him, and while he was talking to him, his voice was trembling because he had high fever, voice was trembling, and he said that, "Mohan, my ship has come. My ship has come. Now, please create, you know, favorable winds that will carry me to my eternal home." And in other words, chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when the disciples started chanting with all the intensity at his command, he knew that his spiritual master was now living. So he chanted with great intensity. And then, when amidst the chanting, the spiritual master, he said loudly, "Hey Gopal, Hey Gopal," and then gave up his last breath. So, before departing for the spiritual world, his Guru Maharaj, he gave him one pencil, which had an eraser, you know, at the end. He gave him that. And he also gave him some written instructions, which we'll discuss a little later. So he gave him some written instructions. And after the departure of his spiritual master, the disciple carried him to Swargadwar. And there, you know, he was cremated and his ashes were thrown into the ocean. So all those things took place. And now Mohan, he returned to his native place. He came back to his village. And now, when people looked at him, he was a happy man. You know, all his earlier personality had totally changed. He was a happy person. Always, you know, smiling, always happy, always wanting to help. So this is how the transformation had taken place after receiving instructions from the Guru. So the people in the village, they started wondering, what is the cause of happiness of this man? What has he got to be happy about? You know, he has lost his wife, he lost his only cow, and now he has also lost his spiritual master. So what? How is it, you know, that he's not, you know, morose? How is it that, you know, he's not sad? Sometimes, you know, people, ordinary people, when we come to Krishna consciousness, people are wondering, you know, how come, you know, you are so happy? They ask some brahmacharis, "You have given up everything, and how come, you know, you are so happy?" They don't understand that the source of all joy, Krishna, is with them, and therefore they are happy. So here they asked him, you know, "Why are you so happy? Why are you so happy?" So you are not answering. And then, you know, some rumors started spreading. Satyananda Maharaj writes, some rumors started, you know, spreading. They are thinking that maybe this Mohan, you know, he has killed his spiritual master. He killed his guru and all his wealth, you know, he has grabbed. Therefore, you know, he is comfortable, happy. Sometimes people think that, you know, if you have material possessions, you are happy. So this is how the, you know, material consciousness works. He thought, you know, because of that, he must be happy. And then some villagers, you know, they gathered some moral courage and they went and actually accosted Mohan. They said that, "Is there something that you have not told us about yourself? We know everything about you, but is there something that you have not told us about yourself?" So when this question was asked, Mohan was very happy, because he said, he thought that, "Now I have an opportunity to glorify my spiritual master." A disciple is sublimely happy when he has a chance to glorify his spiritual master. There can be no greater happiness than glorifying the spiritual master who has virtually given us a new birth. So he was very happy. He said, "You know, I'll explain to you." And then he said, "My life has changed because my spiritual master, Jagannath Anand Swami, he gave me a pencil with an eraser and he has given me some written instructions, which are actually 5 lessons how to lead my life. He has given me 5 lessons, and my Guru Maharaj told me that, 'Mohan, you are not the quickest of learners, you know, that meaning that you are not all that brainy, but you are very sincere and you have a very good heart. Therefore, you know, I am giving this pencil to you and giving these instructions to you, and I feel that by following this, you will learn all that needs to be learnt, you know, from the Shastra. You know, all the subject matters of spirituality you learn just by, you know, the lessons that I am giving you. So he gave 5 lessons in all, which we'll briefly discuss now in the remaining time. So he said, lesson number 1. He said, first lesson which the pencil teaches you is that what is inside is more important than what is outside. Now a pencil, everybody knows, has got, you know, some, what is it? It's got a graphite, which we call lead. So there is lead inside the pencil, and outside is all dead wood, you know, it's wooden things. And only inside there is a very slender, you know, vertical graphite piece with which you write. So everything else is, you know, wood, dead wood. So he said that similarly, what you have to learn the lesson from this is that we are all spirit souls and we have a gross body. We are not our bodies, we are our spirit soul. So it is the spirit soul which gives us consciousness. So it is the lead in the pencil that writes, not the wood. There is so much more wood as compared to the lead. The soul is infinitesimally small, 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair, but it can move, you know, giant-sized hippopotamus and elephants. If the soul departs, everything is dead. The body is dead without the soul. So this is the lesson which one can understand. There's a little bit of extrapolation from my side. Please forgive me for that. So, dehinosmi nyata dehi. That is the lesson we learn from this first lesson. Then the second lesson is that every good pencil has got an eraser at the end. Most of us have used such pencils, you know, for writing. And there is an eraser at the end. Now, why the eraser at the end? Because, you know, we may misplace the eraser if it is separate. it is at the end of the pencil, and, you know, we can write. And as we write, if we commit some mistakes, we can erase. So what is the spiritual significance of this? That we are born in this material world. We are all victims, you know, of the 3 modes of material nature. We have propensity to commit so many sinful activities, knowingly or unknowingly. So we commit so many mistakes in our life. So it is not something unreasonable. We do commit mistakes, and we have committed mistakes. But as we commit mistakes, we should immediately correct the mistakes. This is especially important in spiritual life. We have been given a particular type of spiritual training by the spiritual master. We are in Krishna consciousness, but we have not, you know, got rid of our material consciousness. It is still there, very much dominant in us. When we are in the temple, when we are in the precincts of, you know, the temple, Shri Radha Gopinath, you know, our consciousness, you know, is all spiritual. But the moment we go out, it is what? It is material. And in that material consciousness, we commit so many mistakes. But Krishna consciousness gives us the awareness that, you know, we are committing a mistake, so we should correct them. So we should have the moral fiber or the moral strength to commit them, own the mistakes that we commit, admit. It starts with that. We have to admit the mistake, and, you know, we have to correct. So Satyananda Maharaj writes that truthfully it is not only a duty to correct mistakes, but an honor to do so. It's an honor to admit one's fault. There's honor in it. Our own, you know, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he admitted that, you know, my perception, you know, about independence was wrong. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Swami, you know, told him that you are wrong. Admitted. So spiritual life is all about owning and admitting our own mistakes and correcting them. Not just owning, but correcting them. So this is lesson number 2. Then the lesson number 3 is that for a pencil to write on a piece of paper, the pencil has to have, you know, it needs to be sharpened. Huh? If the lead part of it is not sharp, then when you write, you know, everything, you know, will be blunt. Imagine, you know, I don't know whether it is done nowadays, the architects do it, but in olden days, or in fact in all factories, there used to be draftsmen. When I was working in industry, I had a colleague who was a draftsman. You know, he would draw, you know, with a pencil, he would draw plans of the plant, you know, designing of the plant was done by the draftsman on paper, and then it would be implemented by the engineers. Now, if there is a sharp, you know, pointed pencil and he draws a line, then, you know, 1 centimeter may be, you know, equal to, you know, 10 meters or something like that, the plant. Or one, you know, centimeter may be equal to so many miles, huh? Civil engineer. But if there is blunt edge to the tip, then, you know, that dimension will be totally off. Instead of, you know, 1 kilometer, it might turn out to be 5 kilometers and everything would be wrong. So sharp pencil is a necessary requirement. Similarly for us, in our spiritual life, we have to sharpen our, actually tune up our bodies. Nowadays people go to gym for that, but tune up your bodies by what you're practicing, whatever you are doing. Then, you know, tune up our mind and intellect by spiritual practices. So only when our mind and our consciousness is single pointed, sharp, can we make spiritual progress. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhihi Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bhosha Kahi Anantasya Buddhayo Avyavasayinaha. So basically, therefore, we have to make our intelligence very, very sharp. We have to make our, you know, effort, our mind very, very sharp. Only when we become one-pointed can we make spiritual progress. Otherwise, spiritual progress is not possible. We get distracted. Bahushakahi anantasya buddhayo avyavasayana. If we do not make, you know, if we are not one-pointed, single-pointed in our endeavors in spiritual life, then there will be a lot of branches, and then, you know, we'll make no progress. We'll be where we are. So this is lesson 3, which Chaitanyananda Maharaj talks about. And then lesson 4 is that every pencil has its own unique line to draw. No? All pencils may look alike, but the line that you draw with one pencil, you may not be able to draw with the other pencil. Every pencil is unique. Similarly, in this material world, all of us have been created in Krishna's creation. Every living entity is unique. Every living entity is unique. And therefore, you know, different methods of preaching work on different individuals. Yeah? The same thing may not work on all. So therefore, you know, Narad Muni brilliantly improvises different methods for different people. He has a different method, you know, for, you know, Prachini Barishat, he has different methods for, you know, Valya Koli. He has different method from Rugari, different method, you know, for Prachetas, different methods for Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. So everybody is different, uniquely different. Everybody is unique. So that is one lesson we have to learn from this. And the fifth lesson, which is most important for devotee at least to understand, is that a pencil writes, you know, it writes on the paper, but it doesn't write on its own. The pencil has to be picked up by some person. It has to be held by someone in his hands. And then with that pencil, you know, you can write. So similarly, we have to understand that we have so many God-given abilities. We may have intelligence, we may have wealth, we may have, you know, power, we may have so many things. But to claim that we are self-made men is the most idiotic thing that one can do. Nobody, you know, is self-made. Everybody has been made by the Supreme Father, Krishna. Aham Bija Pradapita. He is the Supreme Lord. And he has given us, to each individual, he has given some ability which we should never claim as our own. We are guided by the hand of the Supreme Lord. We are guided by Him. So that is the gift that we have from the Supreme Lord. So this is the fifth lesson. So we should never ever be proud of our ability, our looks. So a pencil may, you know, write a book, it may write a poem, it may write a story, but it has not been written by the pencil. It has been written by the person who conceived that idea. So similarly, everything in creation has been conceived. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sva characharam. So everything has been created by the Supreme Lord, and therefore we should never ever be proud. So Mohan said that after receiving this pencil with the eraser and after the instructions, I have been studying these instructions every day of my life, and newer and newer perspectives, you know, are unfolding before me. And because of that, I am happy. I am happy. My happiness is entirely because of the compassion of my Guru Maharaj, who, noticing my level of, you know, intelligence, gave me a process, gave me some method whereby, you know, I could learn the deeper spiritual truths which are there in the scriptures. So it is because of that, you know, I am happy. And then I have been sharpening my own tools by chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I have been associating with devotees. So these are lessons for us also. They are there. And by this way, I have, you know, my spiritual life has improved. I am still learning new lessons by looking at the pencil. And the Guru Maharaj had instructed Mohan that just as you will be learning few lessons from the story of the pencil, you can similarly transmit this pencil and the lessons to simple-hearted, good people who may not have intelligence, but you can transmit this. So this way, the villagers who had come to, you know, interview him were all very, very satisfied. They were very happy. And this, the principles that are there in this narration were used by all the villagers. So the entire village people, you know, they became God conscious. So His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj concludes by one sentence. He says that my own spiritual master Srila Prabhupada gave me a pencil, and he gave me simple instructions by which I could change my life. So these are the lessons which we learn from this particular topic. I had more to say about disciples who are not submissive. This is a story of a submissive disciple. More to say about disciples who are not submissive. And yet, they were great in their own ways. So, but I don't have so much time. So I would like to conclude here. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free to do so. Anand Vrindavan Prabhu, anything you would like to comment? Anybody? Oh no. This is shocking.
Hare Bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a very wonderful class. Now my question is, you said that sometimes we make mistakes and we should correct them. Now we are so much engrossed in our own thoughts and we think too much of ourselves, and we don't realize that what we are doing is the right thing. Like we heard in some lecture that we are sometimes watering the weeds instead of the Bhakti Lata seed. And we are so much engrossed in ourselves that we think, oh, we are very wonderful devotees. We are watering the seed. But actually we are watering the weeds, not knowing that we are doing the wrong thing and we are not going in the right direction. So now, how do we correct ourselves if we ourselves don't know that we are watering the weeds? Because they look similar and we think, well, what we are doing is devotional service and we are not aware of our mistakes. Then how do we correct ourselves?
We have to take shelter of the spiritual masters and associate with those devotees who are either at the same level or on a much higher level of spiritual advancement. Because if we associate with devotees who are, who are sort of junior in their realizations, then there is a possibility that they will, praise us for whatever we are doing, and we will wallow in that praise and not be conscious of the weeds that are growing. But when you associate with someone who is, at a higher level or an advanced level of realization, when we associate with such a devotee, that devotee would certainly be in a position to identify the weeds in us and correct us. And that correction we have to take graciously, gracefully, and, change our, methodology of whatever practices that we are doing, we have to change. So we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam that how Bharat Maharaj, who was at the high platform of, he was on the highest platform, of bhava stage, he had made such advancement. But then he came in association of a deer and developed attachment for the deer. And then he wasted that particular life in which he would have reached the ultimate pinnacle of success. But he wasted that particular life because he became attached to the deer, which was like a weed in his spiritual life. He started watering that weed of attachment. And it is said that if only Bharat Maharaj had some association, he would have told him, look, you are wasting your life. Give up this attachment for the deer. So thus, if we are fortunate to get association of advanced devotees and get association of spiritual master, we can either become conscious of our weeds. In association of devotees, we become conscious of the weeds growing in our heart. It happens. And if we are, or the spiritual master will point out that this is what it is, or the advanced devotee will point out, look, you are on a wrong track. This track that you are following is wrong, go on the other track. So this way, compassionate spiritual master and compassionate Vaishnavas will guide us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Well, thank you for giving wonderful class. Well, you said that we have to owing and admit your mistakes, but most of the time, always it's like, in my case, not admitting mistakes. So how to, yes, we are thinking maybe I am right or something like that. So how to admit mistakes?
You have to just go to a senior disciple or some senior Kavi Vaishnava and say that, we have to be honest. See, in spiritual life, honesty is the most important quality. We have to be honest and say, see, this is what is happening to me. I'm developing this kind of attachment. I'm developing this kind of attraction. So please help me. So honestly, we can admit. Unless we do that, we can never transcend that mistake or transcend that sinful tendency. So it's only by associating with devotees who are at an advanced level that, and admitting. Of course, you can admit to the Lord also. You can stand in front of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and say, I have spent so many years in the temple, I have spent so much time, but still, I am having this problem. So Lord, please help me. That you can do. But then, when you do the same thing in presence of a devotee, he can talk to you and tell you. We are not reached that stage of advancement that, the Lord will talk to us. But a devotee is very compassionate. He will sincerely, if he feels for you, he will sincerely tell you, look, Prabhu, this is what you must do. And then that instruction you have to follow. Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.